Oh, is there a long list?
Okay, long ago in the town of Nazareth lived a young woman called Mary.
An angel came to see Mary,
hopping on a rooftop like a ninja.
She was
looking outside,
hanging up laundry.
I think she was really like nervous and maybe scared, maybe excited.
And the angel said, "You're gonna have a baby." And she was like, "What? No, I'm super duper young." And then instantly, she was pregnant with a baby.
And the angel went to see Joseph.
"You and Mary are gonna have a baby."
Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem.
They flied. No, they took donkeys. Cause I watched the movie of it.
So she rode on the donkey, and the donkey said,
"Meh, you're really fat. I can't stand you. This is the longest trip of my life. So get off and just walk by your house."
Mary was ready to have the baby, and they needed to find shelter.
It was a long, tiring journey, especially for the donkey.
They knocked on doors and asked if there was any room that they could stay, but...
No, it was Joseph's relatives. There was no rooms.
There's room in a stable nearby. The shepherds were watching over their
something like that.
The angel said, there is going to be a king of the Jews born, and then
the shepherd said, "Okay," and they went.
I probably thought that it was crazy.
They took like one of those like carriages,
and then the angels came over to the three wise men, and they said,
"They saw the star, right?"
Far from Bethlehem, three wise men from east saw a bright star in the night sky.
It was over the stable, and they just followed the star.
The wise men went to go see Jesus.
They went to Bethlehem and found the stable and saw the baby.
And then the three wise men brought, I think it was
frankincense or whatever, and like merchandise, and I forgot the myrrh.
I love gold.
Maybe it was kind of cold,
smelly, stinky, and probably.
They said, "Hi, baby Jesus."
And they're like, "Oh, he's so cute," and yeah, and everything.
I think it was this one guy. He didn't want to say anything.
This new baby's going to change the world.
And strangely enough, that was word by word from the Bible right there. It's just amazing. Those kids just did awesome. That's great. Hey, Merry Christmas. Great to have you guys here on Christmas Eve. This is great. If you haven't, we haven't met before, I'm Mark, one of the pastors here at C3. And I want to ask you a question. Whatever venue you're in, you can play along as well by raising your hand. I want to ask, how many of you would say that you are naturally a planner? You plan things ahead of time. Will you raise up your hands? Okay, good. Okay, so others of you that didn't raise your hand probably are not, right? So here's how you know if you are a planner. If you had gotten all your Christmas stuff bought and wrapped before summer, you're a planner, right? If you haven't started yet, you are not a planner. Good luck with that. But here's what we're looking at today. Today I want to talk tonight just for a few minutes about change of plans. I want to talk about change of plans. There's some of you that have, you are planners, but sometimes even when you plan things, there is a change of plans. Sometimes things happen. Some of you today, whatever venue you're in right now, or even out in the lobby, some of you are maybe like out of work right now. Last year at this time, you had a job, but something has happened recently. And you're like, "This was not my plan. God, why am I out of work right now?" Sometimes We struggle and our change of plans happens when maybe a health thing happens. Maybe some of you today, going into Christmas tomorrow, you or a loved one that you have is battling a medical condition. And you are bending down before God. And you're going, God, why? Why? We had plans. And this is what has happened. And all of a sudden, my life or this person's life that I love could be gone. This could be the last Christmas. See, sometimes we have plans, but sometimes the plans just don't kind of work out. And I want us to look today at Mary and Joseph. Because in that first Christmas, I'm going to tell you, they had a change of plans. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Mary and Joseph. There's a few little verses where it kind of opens up a window where we could kind of look in and get to know them and stuff, but it's very few. It's kind of like some of you probably sent out some Christmas cards, and in your Christmas cards, some of you guys will probably put in like a letter of what happened with your family this week. Let's say there's four in your family, and you're going to have a paragraph for each person about what happened this last year. Can I tell you that when I get those, that doesn't tell me what happened in the entire year to your family. This is just a little snapshot of what happened in your family. That's what we see in the Bible. We just see a little snapshot. We see that Mary and Joseph came together, got engaged. They ended up becoming the parents of Jesus. But we don't know how they got together. It was just a little snapshot, just a few little verses. How did they get together? We don't know. But we know something. We know that these people, Mary and Joseph, are not really Bible characters. I want you and I to understand today that the Mary and Joseph we're going to talk about in the next few minutes were flesh and blood people that had plans that got changed. And just like your life gets changed, just like you have everything mapped out the way you want and it changes, it happened to them. So here's the story in my mind. Theologians believe that Mary is probably around age 15. So I'm imagining, okay, Mary, she's 15 years old. It's Wednesday night. She's going to the temple, which is the church, because it's youth group. And so she goes to youth group. And there she sees, it's not the youth pastor that's speaking tonight to the youth. All of a sudden, there's a guest speaker tonight. And the guest speaker, his name is Joseph, but everybody calls him Joey. And Joey's up there preaching, and he's talking to the youth, and he's telling them about, he's reading out of the book of Isaiah, talking about how someday there will be a Savior Messiah coming. And here's Mary, and here's her girlfriends at youth group, and they love God, but they're having a hard time listening because Joey is cute, all right? After he gets done speaking, he hangs around. He wants to kind of get to know some of the youth, so he's going around talking to different ones, and eventually he comes up to Mary. And he's talking to Mary, and Mary's like, wow, I'm 15, and he's probably 19 or 20, and he's talking to me. I wonder if he likes me. No, he doesn't like me. I'm too young for him. And he's talking to her, and as they're talking, he mentions, yeah, this is just kind of a side gig I do. I talk to youth groups and stuff, but really my profession, what I do is I work with wood. I build furniture. And all of a sudden she's going, wow, he's even got a job, right? My last boyfriend I broke up with, you know, he didn't have a job. He was still living at home with his parents. I mean, this guy is on target, man. He's a little bit older. He's talking to me. I mean, it's just amazing. She's wondering, could he like me? Ah, no, he doesn't like me. He's a little too old for me. Then the next Wednesday night, she goes to the temple for youth group, and she goes there, and the youth pastor's there speaking that night, but there's Joey. Joey, she found out, has started to volunteer in the youth group. And after youth group is over, he goes up to her and talks with her a little bit more, and she's wondering, why is he just talking to me? And then he asks her this question. He goes, you gonna get coffee tomorrow? And in her mind, she's thinking, now is this a friend coffee or is this more than a friend coffee, right? Right? So the next day he picks her up and he takes her to the Nazareth coffee shop called The Local. And so he takes her there. And there they are having coffee, having a great time, getting to know each other. And over the next few weeks, they just kind of hang out together. And then they start dating. And then after they start dating, pretty soon they start meeting each other's parents. And things are going well. And what Mary doesn't know, again, this is all in my mind, right? What Mary doesn't know is that what Joseph's been doing is he's been working and making wood stuff out, you know, furniture, and he's getting money by selling it, and he's taking the money, and he's trying to put a down payment down on a ring. Finally, he has enough money for the down payment of the ring, and he has the ring, and he puts it in his pocket, and he's got this all planned out. His plan is this. His plan is he's going to take her for a walk by a stream, and there's a little bridge that goes over this stream, and it's just a beautiful setting. And so his plan is he's going to walk her over this bridge, and he's going to kneel down right at the top of the bridge, and he's going to pull out the ring and ask her, and he's got this down pat. I mean, he has thought about everything, because what else has he done is that he's actually hired a photographer, right, who's hiding in the bushes to get that perfect Instagram picture right there, right? And so he gets the ring, he gets the girl, he gets Mary, he's walking her over there, they go over the bridge, just at the crest of the bridge, he stops and goes down on one knee, she turns around to see why did he stop, and she sees him on his knee, and she's going, is this for real? And he pulls out the ring and says, will you marry me? And she immediately bursts into tears and says, yes. And the photographer is taking the picture, and it's going on Instagram, and it's just amazing. And then what happens is what happens when, if you are my age or older, when you get married, when you are young and get married, all of a sudden you're going, we got to make plans. We got to make plans for the wedding. We got to make plans after the wedding. I mean, like, where are we going to live? And she's probably thinking, you know, well, you know, Joseph is a woodworker. Maybe he can build us a house and save us some money. That'd be awesome, right? And so that's a good thing to maybe kind of look on. And then they're thinking about, well, you know, when we have kids, you know, let's have a boy first and then a girl a second. You know, like you can actually plan that, but whatever. But and then she says to Joseph, she goes, well, Joey, she goes, you know, a lot of people our age that are young that are getting engaged in marriage, you know, a lot of them are just going into debt. I think we need to start going on Tuesday nights to the temple, to that small group, Financial Peace University, because we don't want to go into debt as we first get married. And so they had plans, right? They had plans on what they were going to do when they get married and after their marriage, what they're going to do. They had plans. And it was beautiful. And then shortly after she got engaged, she has an encounter with an angel. And an angel comes to her. And he says basically this, and I'll paraphrase. He's saying basically is that you are highly favored by God. God has chosen you to be the mother of his son. And she's going, whoa, time out. Wait, hey, I'm only engaged. I'm not even married yet. We're waiting till after our marriage and the honeymoon. And stuff. There's no way I could be pregnant. And the angel goes, whoa, hold on here. It's not going to be Joseph. You will have this baby through the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, her mind goes back. Because if you were in the first century, you and your parents and your grandparents and so many of the ones ahead of you, for over 700 years had heard that there's a prophecy that there'd be a Savior and a Messiah at some day. And all of a sudden, she's going, this is amazing. She's going, God has picked me and Joseph to be part of history. Joseph is going to be so excited about this. Was he so excited about that? Let's see what Scripture says. In Matthew 1:18, it says this. This is how the birth of the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Sounds good. That's verse 18. But there's a gap between verse 18 and verse 19, because verse 19 says this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So she's going, this is going to be exciting for Joseph. And so all of a sudden we're here in 18, verse 18 is great. Verse 19, he's going, are you kidding me? You're going to give me this story that you are pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Come on. Can't you come up with who's the guy? Tell me. I want to knock his block off. I mean, I just want to kill the guy. Just tell me who he is. She's going, I'm telling you the truth. He did not at all believe it. And all of a sudden, here's Joseph. And Joseph is going, God, why? We had it all laid out. We fell in love. I paid for the ring. I even prepaid for the chapel. I can't get the money back on that. I mean, God, why? We had plans. And all of a sudden, she's cheated on me. Why would you allow something like that to happen? Have you ever felt like that before? You had plans? Christmas or any other time of the year, you've had plans and something changed. Something has happened. Why? Why, God? Joseph's upset. He's mad, angry. God, why? I had plans. Mary's upset. Why is Mary upset? Mary's upset because if you're like a 15-year-old girl in the first century, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you have never been married and you have a kid out of wedlock, there's nobody that's going to help you. There's nobody that's going to marry you. And all of a sudden, Mary is thinking, Joseph's breaking it off. I am going to be living out on the street. I am, for the rest of my life, going to have to beg for food for myself and for my child. God, why? God, this wasn't our plans. We had plans to get married, and this all fell apart, and it just doesn't make any sense. And let me tell you, we feel the exact same way. Because there are times when we have our plans, right? And something happens. Some of you, you were planning to try to have some more finances for Christmas or whatever, but then something medical happened or your car broke down and you now pay hundreds or a few thousand dollars for those things. And you're like, I can't even get presents for my kids. God, why? Why did the car have to break down now before Christmas? Why did the health issue have to happen now before Christmas? God, why? This wasn't part of my plans. Sometimes we go, God, I need a job. I had a job, and just before Christmas, I lost it. I'm looking, God, why? Well, this wasn't my plan. We have this for everything. Some of you are saying, this wasn't my plan to have depression. This wasn't my plan to have a headache. This wasn't my plan to have migraine. This wasn't my plan to have cancer. God, why? You've taken my plan, and you've thrown it out the window. Why do you allow that to happen? Can I tell you, Mary and Joseph are not biblical figures. They were real live flesh and blood people with real emotions and real plans that got ruined, just like it happens to us. And I want to show you something. I want to give you something that I believe that they learned that we need to learn when our plans are changed. And here it is. You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. God had a purpose in this whole thing. And yet Mary and Joseph felt like their plans had been wrecked. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, then here's what happens. So Joseph's sleeping one night. And all of a sudden, an angel comes to him in his dreams. And he says this. He goes, but Joseph, oh, hang on here. Yeah, Joseph, who had considered this an angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a dream. And said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is concealed in her is from the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, in this dream, as this angel is telling him this, he's going, it's true? That crazy cockamamie story that she told me, that's true? And the angel's saying, yes, that is true. That's exactly true. And then verse 21, this is what the angel goes on and says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And all of a sudden, I can see Joseph going, you mean God's in this? You mean God wrecked our plans? You mean that God is using us in this area? This is hard to believe. But an angel told me the same thing that Mary said an angel told her. And so I have to believe this. But God's in this? You mean the pain actually has a purpose? The pain that we've gone through actually has purpose? Absolutely. And I can almost picture in my mind almost hearing God whisper to him and saying to Joseph, Joseph, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I am doing something good to help my people. And you're part of this. And all of a sudden, he doesn't understand, but he understands there's purpose in the pain. Sometimes when you and I go through changes, we have our plans and they get changed. We may not understand, but we realize that God has a purpose. So all of a sudden, here he is, Joseph. Joseph's going, okay, we're in. I'm in. Me and Mary, we're on this. He says, now that it's God's plan, now that we're in on it, it's going to be smooth sailing. Nope. She ends up 9 months pregnant, and there's a decree that there's a census, and everybody has to go back to their home with their census. And so she, at 9 months, has to be on a donkey riding to Bethlehem. And she gets there, and Joey didn't even have the nerve to call ahead and get a room. And so there's no room. The place is just packed. And so they end up being in a barn with a bunch of animals. Let me tell you, if you haven't had a kid yet, ladies, if you have a kid, are you thinking, oh, I hope I can have a kid in a barn? That'd be awesome, right? Then when your kid gets older, you can say, what, were you born in a barn? I mean, right? Now, Mary could say that to Jesus because he was, right? He was born in a barn. But we don't think about being born in a barn, right? That's not the right thing. But yet, here's what happened. Oh, it's going to be smooth sailing because we're on board, and this is God's plan. And so when she has the baby, she'll just say have a little sneeze, and the baby will just pop right out. No, that's not what happened. She gave birth in a stinky stall with a bunch of animals and laid him in the hay where they eat. Crazy, amazing story. But that is what Scripture tells. I mean, you could even make up this story if you wanted to. That's why we know that it's God. Now, fast forward 33 years. 33 years later, Mary is 33 years older, and she's standing at the foot of the cross where Jesus has been nailed to. And she knows the problems when he was born. And she knows that there was a Savior, Messiah, supposed to come, that was supposed to die for all mankind. And here he is now, 33 years later, dying. And she's watching this. And I can personally, I believe that what she was saying, and she was just crying her eyes out, as she's looking at her son dying, she's going, God, this isn't my plan. My son did nothing wrong. He did absolutely nothing wrong. He told people how to have a relationship with you. He healed people and did miracles. He did amazing things. And now he's being executed. Don't take my boy. Don't take my boy. Can you hear the gut-wrenching in her heart? See, this isn't a biblical character. This is a flesh and blood person that had plans that got changed, that got ruined, just like yours and mine sometimes do. And she's crying out, God, save him. Don't let him die. And then Jesus, amazingly, on the cross, his hands nailed. He looks down at the people who had beat him, who had nailed him to the cross, and he says the most craziest things. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then he says, and with his last breaths, he says, it is finished. This last week, we talked about that on Sunday. It is finished is really a banker's term. It means if you were to go to a bank and get a loan, and then once you paid it back in the first century, they would say it is finished. The banker would say it's finished, meaning it's paid back, which means the debt is paid in full. That's what Jesus was saying. It is finished. The debt is paid in full. And then he said, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And then he died. And at that moment, the sun turned dark. The earth began to shake. And one of the Roman centurions who helped execute him said, surely this was the Son of God. And Mary, as she sees his life slip away of her son, I think just falls down and just becomes hysterical. This was not the plan. This was not the plan. Mary and Joseph had a plan. But God had a purpose. But God had a purpose. And can I tell you what that was? See, a lot of times at this time of year, when it comes to Christmas, we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's not really true. The reason he came is because of you and because of me. So the reality is we are the reason for the season. Jesus chose to leave heaven to come to earth as a little baby because of you. Because of me. Because he loves us so much, he knows that we would not ever be able to get back to God because of our sin. Because God is holy and we are not. So Jesus came to do the impossible. He bridged that gap. and he paid the penalty for our sins. So we can now have a right standing before an awesome and righteous and holy God. In fact, if you're like, God doesn't love me. God didn't do it. Jesus maybe died and rose again and stuff for the rest of the world. But yeah, I'm too bad. I've done so much stuff. Mark, you don't know what I've done. That may be true. But God knows what you've done. And he tells us in a famous passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know, you can change one of those words in there. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. It's because of you, your sin, your going away from God for all eternity that Jesus said, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. He loves the world. He loves you. You are the reason why Christ came at Christmas. Are you ready? Have you accepted him? On this Christmas Eve, you thought, oh, let's go to Christmas Eve. We'll go to lunch or dinner afterwards. We'll go get some presents, open up the stuff, and just have fun. But I'm asking you to actually consider your salvation. I'm actually asking you to pause and look inside yourself and go, do you have a relationship with God? Because God's purpose, the whole purpose of Christmas, is to point to Easter, where he could die and rise again to pay the penalty for your sins so you do not have to do that. Have you accepted that? It's not just, yeah, I'll accept the forgiveness, but I'm going to do my life the rest I want. No, it's accepting his forgiveness that he's done for you and coming into a relationship. God is always about relationships. At the very end of the Bible, it talks about when he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the Christians, the people that have never accepted him. He's going to say to those who have never accepted him, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. I mean, I never had a relationship with you. Do you have a relationship with God? Have you accepted the forgiveness that Jesus has offered? Because tonight, what better time, listen, what better time to come into relationship with Jesus than Christmas Eve? Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together right now, we thank you. You're an amazing God. And, Jesus, I am so thankful that you came on Christmas, but you also pointed us to Easter. When you died and you rose again, Jesus, for our sins, and I'm so thankful for that. We are the reason for the season. That's why you came. And, Father, there's right now, under the sound of my voice in each of the venues, there are people right now that do not have a relationship with you, and they know that. But today they're hearing. They need your forgiveness. They need a relationship with you. So, Lord, right now, as they bow their hearts and they close their mind and they say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. I need your forgiveness, Jesus. I believe that you died and rose again for me. You paid my penalty so I don't have to pay for it for all eternity. Thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me, and I thank you that I can also come into relationship with you. Help me to grow. Help me to change. Help me to honor you and to know you better. Lord, I thank you for those that say that prayer, because I know right away, instantaneously, you answer that prayer. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.